if you kind of follow the history of even popular music or movie music and jazz, you know, around like the late 30s and into the 40s and even after that, a lot of these jazz musicians, one of the ways that they would try to get over or become more popular is to do some kind of a recording with strings.
Oh, really? That was used like yeah. as an accessibility point?
Yeah. For example, one of the great albums that I think about is Charlie Parker with strings.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, here's this, you know, the seminal figure in bebop, but he does one of these records. And it's what's great about that record in particular is he's still Charlie Parker. It's not watered down or anything like that, but it's with these string arrangements. And a lot of my favorite musicians who have influenced me have all kind of put out a recording with strings. I would like to do the same thing.
So. And it adds this kind of lush quality to the music. It is a cinematic quality in music. It does sound like a movie.
I think so too. Just to give you a little background, my parents were high school music teachers. I was very influenced by a lot of musicals and things that they were always listening to or doing with their teaching. And there's an obvious lyricism, I think, to that type of stuff. And I think that kind of came through with some of these. With these tracks or these pieces I arrange.
Well, let me ask you about this, Ben, because you know, you hear some of these albums and the strings are really, you can't imagine it without the strings. They play a real role, but you hear, you know, on some jazz records, certainly on a lot of pop music, they're just kind of pasted on and they add this kind of nice atmosphere to it, but they're not really, they're just, you know, playing like long chords together, basically.
Sure.
How do you avoid getting into that territory?
Well, I think for me, I just kind of leaned on so many of the great string recordings that have influenced me. By doing that, I you know, have a decent understanding of kind of what I like the violins and the violas to sound like. And so I'd like to think that, you know, their parts are fairly fun to play and to listen to. And that, like you said, they're not just always sustained notes. And
right,
like
musical
that.
Wallpaper.
You got it.
Yeah. And so you've got violins, violas, cellos?
Three cellos.
Okay. And then that's the 15 together.
Yes, sir.
And those are then surrounding or supporting or whatever the word is, this piano trio.
Right.
Give me a sense of what a piano trio is and why is it this building block in jazz?
It is what's known as the rhythm section. Now, sometimes you can substitute or add a guitar in there, but, you know, we provide the foundation for the harmony and the rhythm and, you know, in a lot of cases, the overall direction of the music. There's a lot of responsibility there. And so when you get a really good trio and you add different instruments, in this case strings, you can have a lot of fun.
That's pianist Ben Markley performing, or practicing rather, with 15 strings that are going to be part of the recital this evening at UW's Buchanan Center for the Performing Arts. Ben, you also pull people out of the string section, as it were. A fellow faculty member at UW, John Fadile, a wonderful classical violinist, performs with you. And so you have a jazz player and a classical player meeting. Tell me about that collaboration.
John and I have known each other for a while since we've worked together. But last spring, I helped out with a search committee and did some playing. And anyway, long story short, kind of in talking, he said, you know, it'd be really fun to do something in the future together. And I, you know, be careful what you wish for, right? So I approached him about doing this, and man, it's really come together nicely. He sure knows how to play a melody.
And I assume the other string players are from the classical side of things and not from the jazz studies program. How do you bridge that gap? Because classical players and jazz players have a really different feel of rhythm. Jazz players think of everything as swung, and classical players don't default to that in the same way.
Right. It's been a fun learning process thus far in preparing some of this material. I think for all of us as musicians, it's really important to be as well-rounded and as versatile as possible. So in the case of string players, yeah, a lot of your work is going to be in symphony orchestras and things like that, but it's also really helpful to be able to kind of play some more commercialized music and jazz, movie soundtracks, all that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And It's really nice to kind of try to find some common ground with these guys.
So I know that for this recital, Ben, you've got two existing compositions and then seven new works that aren't already on recordings. But the two compositions that you've adapted for this ensemble were pieces you've recorded with typical jazz ensembles. How do you convert that from your typical small combo to this more orchestral venue?
Kind of a funny story about one of the tunes, Sentiments of Tranquility. We ended up recording that. That's on another one of my colleagues, Scott Turpin's recording. We finished, and this was a quartet, electric keyboard, bass, and drums, and saxophone. When we finished, we listened back to it. And I said, I think it needs something else. And we ended up putting some synthesized strings with it. And that for me was, when I was doing that, I said, man, this is a tune that really, I think, can come alive with strings.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fabulous concert, Ben. That recital is taking place tonight at 7:30 in Laramie at UW's Buchanan Center for the Performing Arts Concert Hall, and it'll be Ben Markley as part of a piano trio with 15 strings, including violinist John Fidile. Ben, have a great concert, and thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Micah.